Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I had forgotten. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been talking about God, the Holy Spirit, and walking in the Spirit. So this morning, subject is free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. I have read this scripture. We studied it because we studied in the book of Romans. And I had received some revelations from this scripture. But in the last probably couple of weeks, God has highlighted this scripture to me more. He's highlighted it to me more. I was reading a book by E.W. Kenyon, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me through that. And then we was on Zoom. Was it Monday night or last Monday night? And Robert, a friend of his, has sent him an email and quoted the scripture. And Robert quoted the scripture. And immediately the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit about this particular verse in Romans 8:2. So today I want us to learn more about how to walk in the Spirit, but understanding the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the fact that it has made us free from the law of sin and death. I really believe that the more we get a revelation of Romans 8:2, the more we will be able to walk in freedom as we walk in the Spirit. Because what? It's not about how much scripture we know. It's not about how much scripture we quote. It's about how much revelation we have. How much revelation do we have? I can't walk in what I don't have revelation to walk in because it's not going to come from my heart. My head will try to do it. My mind would try to do it, but it won't last. But once it gets in your heart and you receive that revelation, it changes you. I think Andrew said it's an effortless change. The more of that revelation of the Word of God you get in you, the more you're able to what? Walk it out. The more you're able to walk it out. So how much revelation knowledge do you have about Romans 8:2? I don't know how much you have. I want to know how much I have. I want to know how much you have. I know what I have. Maybe you don't really understand Romans 8:2 very well. Maybe you have a very good understanding of Romans 8:2. But today I'm going to give you what God has given me, and we're going to learn more together. Because why? We need to seek to know God and His Son by revelation knowledge and not head knowledge. Let's take a moment to talk about revelation knowledge. What is revelation? The revealing or making known knowledge from God, or knowing something that God knows. I like knowing something God knows. He knows a lot more than I know. He has helped me in many ways by letting me know stuff I didn't know. Showing me through Holy Spirit how to do stuff I didn't know how to do. I'm retired now, but I've had jobs that I didn't know what to do. I was overwhelmed by all the stuff I had to do. But the Lord showed me what to do and how to do it and how to get through what I was going through. So it's knowing something that God knows. I looked into Webster's dictionary, and Webster dictionary says this: it's an act of revealing or communicating divine truth. It's also something that is revealed by God to humans. It's an act of revealing to view or making known. An act of revealing to view or making known. It's you seeing something you didn't see before, knowing something you didn't know before. That's from God. Something that is revealed. So we're talking about knowledge revealed from God that God gives us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is a very misquoted scripture. I think we're about to get it. We're kind of getting it right now, but when I first got saved, it was misquoted and misused. Probably still is in some places. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them, love him. This is a quote from Isaiah 64:4. But sometimes people stop, they read that verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9, they stop. They don't go to 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Next verse, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except what? The Spirit of God. Now, next verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we may freely know the things that he's given us. He wants us to know. He wants us to know. He wants you to know. So he's given us the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. And it's been freely given. Freely given. Revelation is progressive, meaning the more we read, study, which includes meditation of the scriptures, the more we receive. Let's look at Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. I remember when I read this scripture years ago, I didn't really understand what it meant. But over time, God has given me more revelation of it. And let me tell you this too about revelation knowledge, when God gives you something. And I'm telling you this as sort of an introduction to the scripture, the lesson for today. But when God give us revelation and give us something, because this has happened to me, when God quickens us our spirit and give us revelation about something, don't let it slip. Meditate on it, read, study. Take time out and allow Holy Spirit to make that thing known in your heart and make it deeper so you can walk in it. Because if you don't, you will lose it. It will slip. It will slip. So when God quickens your heart about something, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Mark 4:24 says this: take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. More will be given. I'm going to read that in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read Mark 4:24 and 25 in the Passion Translation. Then he said to them, "Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have." I can remember losing a revelation I thought I had. Sometimes we think we got it too. We're tested on what we think we have. Then we realize we don't really have it like we thought we had it. But revelation is progressive, but we got to pay attention to what God gives us and when he speaks to us. So I said all that is my introduction to say, okay, God has given us a deeper revelation of, he gives us deeper, a deeper revelation of scripture. He's given me a deeper revelation of Romans 8:2. So that's what I want to teach on today. And I want you to remember now, remember what I said about revelation. You know, think on what you hear. Think on it. Pray on it. Study the Word of God. I made a mistake when I first got saved. I didn't study for myself. I only listened to the preacher on Sunday morning. I didn't study for myself. I read the Bible, but I didn't study. And so all I had was what I heard. And all he had was what he heard and what revelation he knew, but he wasn't trying to seek any more revelation. And so I didn't grow very far until I started listening and wanting to receive more from the Lord and more revelation from the Word of God. Because guess what? I'm going to tell you this right now. You don't know it all, and I don't either. That's what I'm learning. I don't know it all, but I know what God gave me, and I know there's more to receive. I know there's more to receive. When we get to the point we don't think there's more to receive, then we're in a bad place. Okay. So Romans 8:2 said that we have what? We have been given. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free and you free, if you're born again, from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. So, what is the law of sin and death? What is the law of sin and death? Anything that does not bring the life of God comes from the law of sin and death. Anything. I don't care what it is. Anything that does not bring the life of God to you and me, it comes from the law of what? Of sin and death. I'm not going to read all of Deuteronomy, but I want to us to look at something in Deuteronomy. I'm going to give you the chapters and you can go back and read them. I want you to take time to read Deuteronomy, and some of you probably already have. If you haven't, go read it. Read Deuteronomy chapters 29, 1 through 30, 19. And you're going to find in Deuteronomy 29, 1 through 30, 19. You can write it down. We're not going to go there now. God made a covenant with the children of Israel. We call it the Old Covenant. But we have a new covenant. Hebrews 7, 22 and 8:6 says, our covenant is a better covenant. Amen, Mary. In the Old Covenant, God set before them what? Blessings and cursing. He set before the people blessings and cursing. And this just meant that God made them aware of what would kill, steal, and destroy, and what would bring life. Blessings brought life. You find the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Curses for disobedience, you'll find in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. Choosing to obey God's command, being obedient to what was written and what God said through the prophets would bring life. Deuteronomy 29, 9 and 30, 19. Disobeying brought the curses, which was death, the opposite of life. I am going to read Deuteronomy 30, 19. If you don't look at that with me, I'm going to read the New King James Version. This is after God gave them all that he wanted to give them. This is what he said to them in Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. Even though God knew they could not keep the whole law, he still gave them the opportunity to choose. Even though the flesh is weak, God accepts a willing heart. Repentance was available and also ways to atone for their sin. The goodness and love of God was not without a plan to bring his creation back to life and freedom from the law of sin and death. God always had a plan. He always had a plan. Always had a plan to bring us back from where we were, to bring us back from where Adam sold us out. He always had a plan to bring us back out of the law of sin and death and back into the law of life in Christ Jesus. God always had a plan. But the thing is, we still have to choose. It's not automatic. We still have to choose by choosing every word of God by faith. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, and I'm going to read the Passion Translation. Matthew 4:4, Passion Translation. He answered, Jesus answered, the scriptures say, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Every word of God brings life. Every word of God gives life. Every word of God will some it will take root in some area of our life where it's needed, and God will bring life in that area. If sickness and disease in your body, and that's death, then the word of God will bring healing, and healing is life. Healing is life. Healing is life. Fear is death. Fear of man. The only fear that's not death is the fear of God. The Bible talks about the fear of God. The fear of God is a healthy thing because that means you reverence and honor God. But fear and sickness and disease and unforgiveness and all those things, all of those are death, not life. Forgiveness brings life. Forgiveness brings life. Trusting God brings life. Obedience brings life. The word of God said, what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. God rather for us to obey him than to sacrifice to him. Obedience brings life. We have the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has no sin and death. We, the children of God, we have the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have it on the inside of us. And in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there is no sin and death. Where do we have that? We have it in our spirit man. Everything we need is what? In our spirit man. But the dilemma a lot of times is, how do I get it from my spirit man out here where I can see it? Where I can walk in it? Where I can enjoy it? Where it can work for me? I want you to look at that Romans 8:2 again. We have been delivered from the law of sin and death. But that death is not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. The life we have in Christ Jesus is talking about spiritual life, the God kind of life. We're going to get to that more. So which death came first? When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, spiritual death came immediately and physical death followed. We're always so concerned about physical death, but we should be concerned about spiritual death. You're only going to have to die physically one time, unless you die and then you're resurrected or whatever. Somebody bring you back. But spiritual death is something we have to face every day. Every day, spiritual death is trying to take the life of Christ from us, out of us, trying to take our blessings. Every day we deal with spiritual death. Every day we deal with sickness and pain, attacking our bodies. Every day we deal with disappointment or somebody hurting our feelings. All that stuff that's not life. We deal with it every day. But the good news is we have the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have that. So when Adam and Eve came spiritual death, which was immediate, physical death followed. According to scripture, the first person to die was Abel. He was murdered by his brother Cain. Before then, there was no death. Nobody died. The animals didn't kill anybody. There was no death, no physical death, because there was no spiritual death. Where there's no spiritual death, there was no physical death. But Adam committed treason by believing and obeying Satan instead of God. He sinned. And through sin, death entered through Adam. If people ask you, why did this happen in the world? Why did that happen in the world? Why? Look, that's death. Why did it happen? Because when Adam sinned, it's through sin that what? Death came into the world. Now, instead of the life of God ruling the world through Adam's spirit, Satan ruled through the law of sin and death through Adam, who now had the nature of Satan. We know Jesus that are born. We know him. Why are you going to get up so upset with somebody that's not born again, have the nature of Satan? They act the way they do because they have the nature of death. You can't expect them to act and be what they're not. If a dog is a dog, you can't expect that dog to be a cat. He's not going to never be a cat. He will always be a dog. You can try to make him look like a dog. You can try to make him bark like a dog. He's still going to be a dog. Not, well, the cat ain't never be a dog. Dog ain't never be a cat. So, but people need to know the truth. They need to know the word of God. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need an opportunity to hear the gospel so they can receive it if they choose to do so. Us, we getting all impatient with, what's going on in the world and all of that is not going to help us one bit nor the world. Not one bit. Not one bit. I can complain all day long. It ain't going to help nobody. I don't like this. I don't like that. They're doing this. They're doing that. You know. But we need to pray. Pray that God will send somebody with them with the gospel so they can hear the word of God. And when the nature change, the person change. The change might not be 100% in their actions, but the born again spirit changes completely. It changes completely to a born again spirit. Their old nature goes. So I like what Miles Monroe said one time when he was living. And I wish I could remember how he quoted that thing, how he said it, but it was so good about how, you know, you can't change a person. We couldn't change ourselves. We can't change nobody else. The word of God does the changing. So what we need to do is pray for that person that they might hear and get the word of God and allow Holy Spirit to do the changing. He does the work, not us. He does the work, not us. Thank God that Lord and somebody had patience with us before we got saved. And so now we need to be patient with somebody else and give them the word of God and love them. That don't mean you love all their ways. They operate in the law of sin and death. We're supposed to be operating in the life of Christ. I don't love their ways. I don't love the way they act, but I love the person because Jesus died for the person and God loves them. When Christ died, he died for everybody. 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 I was reading a book where this minister, he was in Aurora, Illinois. He started the church there. And it was a very gang-infested neighborhood. And a lot of Hispanic gangs and stuff was in the neighborhood. And he was preaching. Anyway, he did a section on sex, and he talked about how you shouldn't fornicate, you shouldn't commit adultery. And next week he was going to teach on, you know, how marriage supposed to be, how sex supposed to be in a marriage. Well, this young lady was coming to the church, hearing the word of God. She was living with one of the gang leaders, and they weren't married. So she went home and she told him, said, the pastor said that we can't have sex no more. It's wrong because we ain't married. And of course, he's operating in the law of spirit of death. You know, he's sin and death. And so he said, that pastor not told you that I'm gonna go kill that pastor. He went to church the next Sunday. The word got to the pastor, he was coming to kill him. And the pastor said, somebody said, maybe you ought not preach today. Maybe you should change your sermon today. He said, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna go preach. And then somebody told him, said, he's out there. He's sitting in the second row, you know. He still went and preached. He went and preached the word of God. And the man did not move out of his seat. He looked down a couple of times. He didn't move until the end of the service. And Then the Lord gave him a word of knowledge that the police was going to capture him. He's going to go to jail, the gang leader. And he went to jail. He did go to jail. And the pastor went to see him in jail. And they told him, if I were you, I don't know if I would do that or not. He said, well, I'm going. And he went to see him. And he asked him, he said, I know you came to church that day to kill me. Because that's all the guy knew. Come to find out, the gang leader, his father, stepfather, beat him from 3 years old on up. He was abused. And that's all he didn't know love. He didn't know love. All he knew was hate. And so he told the pastor, I came to kill you that day. He said, but when I sit down, I could not move out of my seat. I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. Once I sit down, I couldn't move to the end of the service. And so the pastor began to witness to him because he knew that he was operating in the law of sin and death. And the pastor was operating in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he knew the only way for that gang leader to get the life of Christ and get out of sin and death was to receive Christ. And so he witnessed to him. And first, the gang member, he didn't believe that he could be saved. He had done so many bad things. They had him in jail for six murders. And he told the pastor, that's not even half of it. He actually had killed more people than what they had him in jail for. And he did not believe that there was no way he could be saved. There's no way he could be forgiven. There was no way God would even want him. But the pastor began to tell him about how Saul in the Bible persecuted the children of God, had them killed, and he was delivered and set free. He was born again. Anyway, he talked and gave the word of God to this gang leader till he received Christ. And he said the moment he received Christ, it was like something lifted and just left him. That spirit of sin and death just went. And the spirit of life in Christ Jesus caused him to be born again. When I think about that story, when I think about how powerful life in Christ is, how it can eradicate even the worst situation, how it can change even the worst person's heart. Life does that. The life of God does that. The spirit of life we have in Christ Jesus does that. It does that. It will come in and just, the person becomes a whole new person. And that spirit of life in Christ Jesus stays there. It doesn't leave. It stays on the inside of us. It stays there. It stays there. It stays there. And as we walk this life out in the Lord, as we go doing what God called us to do, as we live this life, that spirit of life in Christ Jesus is there. And every time we use the word of God or speak the word of God, believe the word of God, that life rises up and changes situations. It changes how our body feels. It makes healing come in our bodies. It brings soundness to our minds. It moves out confusion. And it brings in clarity when we need it. Because what? The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Whatever is sin, whatever is death, God has made us free from it through the life of in Christ Jesus that's in us. We're free from it. We don't have to obey it. Now we can obey it if we want to. Remember, we got a right to choose. We can choose. We can choose to be obedient. We can choose to disobey. We can choose to obey the word of God. We can choose to disobey the word of God. We're not robots. We've been given the freedom of choice. But what did God tell the Israelites? He said, choose life. Choose life. You got to choose something anyway. You're going to choose something anyway. Why not choose life? Why not choose to walk with God? Why not choose to obey God? Why not choose to listen? Why not choose to humble yourself? Me too. Why don't I choose to humble myself? Under the mighty hand of God. Have I got it all right? No. Do I walk in it perfectly 100%? No. But I choose to keep on walking. I choose to keep on believing. I choose to look to the word of God and say, okay, Lord, your word is true. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus is greater than anything that could ever come against me. Anything I could ever face. If I just look to you, you will work it out. You will take care of the situation. Then we need to know, okay, God, I'm here to obey you. I'm not here to obey man. Everybody's not going to like because you're following Christ. Everybody's not going to like because you choose to obey Christ. Remember the gang leader's girlfriend? He didn't like because she chose to obey the word she heard. And to tell him, we need to get married. We're going to stay together. We need to get married. So people are not going to like when we decide to obey and walk it out with the Lord in obedience. When we choose to follow the spirit of life of Christ Jesus in us, knowing that, okay, I'm free from the law of sin and death. If I just be obedient, that law of sin and death has to move and give way to the life of Christ. And if I don't walk in it today because my faith is maybe not where it should be, that's okay. I'm still going to walk tomorrow. If I don't get it right today, I'm going to still do it tomorrow. I'm not going to give up because something didn't work out the way the word of God said it was supposed to work out today and it's not God's fault. Must be something in me. So I'm not going to give up because whatever in me can change, God never changes. He's not going to change. He doesn't have to. He's perfect. So when something needs to change, it must be something in me that needs to change. So that spirit of God can work. And I got notes, but I got way off my notes, didn't I? So let's go. I'm just going to skip down. Let's go to John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Y'all see that? The thief is the devil. The thief is Satan. If something is stealing and killing and destroying, who is it? The devil. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys comes from the law of sin and death, whether it's physical or financial. Your health and finances are not being stolen by God, but by Satan. God is not stealing our health. God is not making us sick. God is not killing people. God is not taking somebody's life. And if you go to a funeral, hear somebody say that, okay, God wanted the flower. So he took this, plucked it out, and took it to him. Don't believe it. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. God is not killing people. So when someone dies or is hurt by sickness and disease, an accident or disaster, it's not God that's doing the stealing, the killing, and destroying. It's Satan. And it's why? Because now in the world, there's the what? The law of sin and death is in the world. The law of sin and death is in the world. People in the world, just like us, the Bible tells us that in Ephesians, before we got saved, we had the nature of Satan. We didn't have the nature of God. But now we have God's nature. Jesus said, he said, I come and they may have life, the God life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Spiritual life comes from God through life in Christ Jesus. Spiritual life comes from God. The life we now live in us, Paul said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we're supposed to live. We live by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus in us. And we live it by faith. How do we live this life? This life of God in Christ, the Lord of life in Christ Jesus that's in us, we do it by faith. You got to do it by faith. Wait, the word says in Ephesians 2:8, by grace you are saved through faith, which is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We didn't work out our salvation. We didn't work to get our salvation. We don't have to work to keep our salvation. We're kept by the power of God. But we do have to obey to walk out what God has called us to. We have to be obedient and walk by faith to accomplish what God told us to accomplish, to enjoy the promises, to enjoy the healing, to enjoy all the things that God gave us, peace, love, joy, self-control, all of that. We have to, it's by faith we enjoy all of that. Believe you received it. If the Bible says you already have it, believe you got it. Confess it. Don't talk about what you don't have. And we all slip every now and then. I do too. And the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, you know, you need to retract that and say something else. So in my conclusion, the law of life in Christ Jesus has made the law of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And I want you to say with me, say, I am free from the law of sin and death. I am free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because what? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Not making you free, has made you free. Amen. Has made you free. It's time to shed all the grave clothes like Lazarus did by allowing Holy Spirit to take them off of us. That's the good thing about it. Holy Spirit takes them off. He takes them off. It's time to do like the blind man that wanted to see, who threw off his beggar garment before he even received his sight, because he knew he had it. He knew he had it. Faith is about walking in what we don't see, feel, hear, smell, or taste, yet believing it's true. The law of sin and death can only operate in the sense realm and is fueled by reason. Well, I see what it did to them. So if I got the same thing, it must gonna do that to me too. That's reason coming from seeing or hearing. So we're not supposed to live by our five senses. We're not supposed to live by what we see, hear, taste, smell, or any of that. I'm trying to think about what they say and people say. You know, God gave you them five senses. Yeah, he did. But he didn't tell me to live by them. He told us what? To walk in the Spirit, didn't he? The law of life in Christ Jesus, the law of life in Christ Jesus is fueled by faith in every word of God. So the law of sin and death can only operate in the sense realm, and it's fueled by reason. The law of life in Christ Jesus is fueled by faith in every word of God. If you see yourself going by what you see, what you feel, what you hear, and what you smell or taste, then you're operating in the law of sin and death. Okay? All those senses are good. God gave us that so what? We can enjoy the world we live in. That's why we have those five senses. So we can enjoy the world we live in. They're not for us to live our spiritual life by. The law of life in Christ Jesus is fueled by faith in every word of God. So we want to live in the law of life in Christ Jesus, we have to do it by faith in every word of God. And the life of God will manifest. The life of God will manifest as we put faith in what God has said and what God is saying. and what God has said, then the law of life in Christ Jesus will manifest. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all those that are here to receive the word of God today. And God, we thank you because you're so gracious. You're so good. You've given us what we needed. And so, God, we say thank you. We bless these, your people. And we say thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a loving and kind and understanding. And God, we thank you for your patience. Some of us need much patience. I acknowledge the fact I have needed much patience in these years, Lord. But you are so patient with us. And so, God, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father God. You've been so merciful and long-suffering with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And God, we ask that you continue to bless us to receive more understanding and knowledge of your word, revelation knowledge, that we may walk in what you've called us to walk in the path that you've leaded us to walk in. All of us have our own paths to walk in, Lord, but every path is by faith. So God, help us to walk in the path that is before us by faith, faith in every word you give us, faith in every word you've given us. Help us let nothing slip. Help us let not nothing slip, not a word slip that you've given us, not a revelation slip that you've given us. Let nothing that you've shown us slip, God. But help us walk in it and keep it on our minds and meditate on it and read and talk with you about it and ask you about it. Have conversation with you about it, Lord, so that you can help us understand more and receive more revelation. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.